Good morning, everyone. Thanks for having me. I'm here to tell you a story of a couple incredible miracles. But here's the thing. These miracles are so incredible, I'm going to tell them to you, and some of you are going to think that I'm delusional, that I don't know what I'm talking about. In fact, if you were there that very day that you witnessed these miracles, some of you sitting here would not even believe it yourselves. I'm a Jew, and shalom, I bring my greetings and my blessings to you. And I know the Torah very well. I've read the prophets, and I've read some really incredible things that took place in biblical times. I mean, I read how God parted the Red Sea for the Israelites to escape the Egyptians. I've read about how God gave the Israelites incredible victory over places like Jericho. But the miracles I'm going to share with you today top even those things. They're just outstanding. Now, I do not know why I've been given the privilege to have been there during the life of Jesus to witness these miracles. But I was in the right place at the right time. And it was such a privilege. Again, if you don't know who I am, my name is Andrew. And again, I lived during the time of Jesus. And I was really, really good friends with a guy named Lazarus. You'll read about him in your Bible, John chapter 11. Really good friends with Lazarus, in fact. And in fact, Jesus, whom I refer to as Yeshua bar Yosef, which is Jesus, son of Joseph, the Nazarene, he was also good friends with my good friend, Lazarus. Now, you're not going to see me in your Bible. I'm one of those guys that are kind of in the background, the crowd. But I was there. I was there when Jesus walked this planet. And I was there when these great miracles took place. But getting back to this Jesus guy, I mean, he caused a stir wherever he went. He would teach and he would preach and people would be amazed with his teaching. And get this, he would see a blind person and he would pray for them and that blind person would receive their sight. He would go and he would heal the lame. He would go toe-to-toe with the Pharisees. He did all sorts of incredible, miraculous things. And the thing with Jesus is that you could not have a neutral response or neutral reaction. It's either A, you loved him, you followed him, you praised him, or B, you hated him, you were envious of him, you were jealous of him, and some people, in fact, wanted to kill this guy. Well, it turned out Jesus was off teaching and preaching and doing his thing. And my good friend Lazarus, he got sick. I mean, it happens to us all. But he got sick, and it wasn't just a normal sickness. It was a life-threatening illness. Now, the sisters of Lazarus, their names were Mary and Martha, and they figured, well, Jesus loved Lazarus. And if Jesus loved Lazarus, and if he could heal people of any sickness, of any disease, they figured, why don't we just go send for Jesus? He'll come back because he loves Lazarus, and he will heal Lazarus, and all will be well. So that was the plan. So Mary and Martha, they send for Jesus, and we think logically that he would come back and heal Lazarus, but he heard the message and he did nothing with it. He stayed where he was at. I mean, I thought he loved Lazarus. I thought he loved my friend. But he stayed where he was at, and guess what happened? Lazarus died shortly after. I mean, Jesus, he should have been there, but he wasn't. And so he wrapped up Lazarus in linens and funeral burial clothes, and we had a funeral service, and we were just absolutely devastated. I had lost my best friend. We had lost our brother. We put him in a tombstone. He was deader than dead. And all of a sudden, Jesus strolls into town. I got to be honest with you, there was mixed feelings when I saw Jesus. On one hand, we had this great respect for him. I mean, he could heal all sorts of people. He did all sorts of incredible things. People were amazed with his teaching. But yet, he comes a little too late, Jesus. You should have been here. And so, as you can understand, there are mixed emotions in the air. Well, Jesus comes into town, and he's around here. And Martha comes and talks to him. And she gets right to the point. I mean, they make their greetings and they start talking. And I'm just kind of listening in here. And so Martha gets right to the point and she says, Jesus, if you would have been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. You can sense the resentment, the bitterness, but at the same time, the respect she had for Jesus. It was awkward to say the least. So the conversation continued and Jesus said something really interesting. At the time, I didn't know what he meant, but he said this. He said, Martha, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me will never die. And so I was just listening. And at some point in the conversation, Martha said, Jesus, I believe you're the Christ. I believe that you are the Son of God. Shortly after that, Lazarus' other sister, Mary, came, and she sat with Jesus as well, and she got right to the point as well. Jesus, if you had been here, Lazarus would have not have died. Of course, at that point, Jesus was moved with emotion, and he got up from where he was sitting with Mary and Martha, and he walked towards the tombstone. The tombstone was right around there, and he just started to weep. Jesus was just, maybe he hadn't had the opportunity to grieve yet. Maybe he could sense the pressure of people judging him. And so he walked towards the tombstone, and as he wept, people said to themselves, okay, maybe he really did love Lazarus. But the question still remained, if he could give sight to the blind, couldn't he have come back and healed Lazarus? So I sat back down on my pile of hay here, and I watched Jesus. And listen, when people die, people do crazy things when they grieve. I mean, sometimes they're just not being logical. But so Jesus is standing there in front of the tomb, and he says, roll the stone away. Ugh. Jesus, what are you, come on. People are telling him, Jesus, Lazarus is dead. He's been in there for 4 days. I know we all grieve in different ways, but don't do this. Don't embarrass everyone. The stench is going to be horrible. Just leave it alone, Jesus. And then he said something interesting. He said, didn't I tell you if you believe that you would see the glory of God? All right. We didn't really know where he was going with that. But because we had respect for him, we rolled the stone away. Of course, the stench was unbearable. I mean, he had been dead for 4 days. And so I sat down right here. And this is where the story gets kind of crazy. And this is where you think I might be a little delusional. And I don't even know if I should tell this part of the story. Should I finish my story? I don't know. Some of you are going to think I'm nuts. Okay? This is what happened. I was there. I saw it. Jesus was standing right about here. Tombstone's over there. And this is what Jesus says. Well, before he says this, he prays a prayer to God. And then he says this in a loud voice. Three words. He says, Lazarus, come out. And there's my friend. He's coming out of the tombstone in his grave clothes. Jesus had risen my friend Lazarus from the dead. Woo! Oh. You can imagine the emotions were mixed that day. People were pinching themselves, wondering if they were in a dream. Some people were bowing down to Jesus, praising him. Other people were running around like they were chickens with their heads cut off, just telling everyone about Jesus, that he had risen Lazarus from the dead. Crazy. Crazy. I mean, I gotta tell you, this was a very significant event in history, okay? I know the Torah. I've read the prophets. I've read of prophets raising people from the dead, but that was within hours of people dying, Elisha and Elijah. But no one that I know of has ever risen someone from the dead who's been dead for 4 days and in a tombstone and wrapped in burial clothes. Isn't that crazy? You probably think I'm nuts. That's okay. It happened. You know, the other day, I have a business like many of you do, and my business depends on hay. And so I was worried the day before because hay was raising in price, about 2%. And I was stressed out about that. And then the very next day, Jesus raises my best friend from the grave. It kind of puts some things into perspective. You ought to try it sometime. There's a guy out there who raises people from the dead. Isn't that cool? And so that very day, that news of Lazarus being risen from the dead spread like wildfire. It was crazy. And all sorts of people put their faith in Jesus. I was one of them. I came to the point in my life where I declared Jesus to be the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. But like I said to you before, not everyone had the same reaction. How would have you reacted that very day if you were there? Now, others decided that the chief priests and the Pharisees, to be specific, they met, they got together, and they decided that Jesus needed to be arrested and crucified and killed. Very distinctly opposite reactions. And so that's what happened. I mean, Jesus continued on with his ministry. He kept on teaching and healing people, and he was awesome. But eventually, the chief priests and the Pharisees, they made a deal with a man named Judas, and they betrayed Jesus for 30 silver coins. And Jesus was tried before the various leaders of the day, and it was decided that he would have to be crucified. And so they beat him. They mocked him. They spit on him. They placed a crown of thorns on his head. And then they made him carry his cross, his own cross, to the place where he would be crucified. And he died this humiliating, torturous, horrible criminal's death on a cross. And I was there when it happened. There's a few things at that moment that really hit me hard. I thought to myself, if Jesus was such a good guy and did so many good things, and he was innocent and perfect, how could a man like that be killed? And I came to this conclusion. I need to listen carefully. This was my conclusion. This world has a problem. This world is evil. Period. Exclamation mark. Something is wrong. And then I went a step further. Well, that must mean that there's something wrong with us as well. You know, we sing about peace and unity and love and all sorts of good things, and we all hope for it. No matter what generation you live in, that's what we're all hoping for. But I got to the point, if a good man like this could be crucified by this world has a problem, it's evil, it's lost, it is hopeless. And without God, we as individuals are without hope as well. And here's the other thing I struggle with. Here I see Jesus on the cross. And I'm thinking, okay, he healed the blind. He healed the lame. He healed lepers. He cast out demons. He raised my best friend from the dead, and he's hanging on a cross. I mean, I thought he was the Messiah. I thought he was the Son of God. And if he truly was the Messiah, the Son of God, couldn't he come down from the cross and save himself? Is this guy really who he said he was? And so, I don't know. I just walked away confused, depressed, frustrated. And I got to tell you, the worst feeling I had out of everything was a feeling of hopelessness. There's no hope. I didn't pray. I mean, I didn't even know how to pray. And so he died on the cross. He was buried in a tomb wrapped in linen cloths. And here's where the story gets crazy. And again, I don't know if I should tell you this part because he might think I'm a little nuts. But it happened, and I got to tell you about it. 3 days later, after Jesus was deader than dead, 3 days later, a woman by the name of Mary, tombstones are kind of over there. She goes to the tomb, and she sees that the stone is rolled away. And she runs in to go find the body of Jesus, and she panics because there is no body of Jesus. She couldn't find him. And so she runs back to the disciples. She tells them the news, and they're startled, and they run back to the tombstone as well. One of them outruns the other, and they confirm that Jesus' body is not there, nowhere to be found. I mean, they're excited, but they're a little confused at the same time. And so the disciples go back home. Mary, she's just devastated. She's on her knees and she's crying. She's grieving. She has no idea what the heck is going on. And all of a sudden, some angels appear to her. And they say, Mary, why are you crying? And she explains the situation. They've taken the body of my Lord away and I don't know where they've put him. And she continues to cry and grieve. And all of a sudden, this man whom Mary thinks is the gardener comes by, and he asks Mary, why are you crying? And Mary says the same thing. They've taken away the body of my Lord. I don't know where they put him. If you're the gardener, can you tell me where you put the body so I can find him? And the man says, Mary. And all of a sudden, Mary turns around and she realizes who this man is. And this man is Jesus. Jesus had risen from the dead. Amen? Wow. I mean, that was an exciting time. Jesus was dead, and he rose from the grave. And so Jesus appeared to Mary, and then he went and appeared to the disciples, and then he appeared to the apostles. And then your Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15 that he appeared to about 500 people. And guess what? I was one of those 500. And then when I saw Jesus for the first time, all of a sudden, it made sense. My confusion with this cross turned into confidence when I saw the risen body of my Lord, Jesus. It all made sense. And my feeling of hopelessness turned into a sense of hope and joy. And I then realized at that moment that Jesus was not just the Messiah of the Jews, but he was the Messiah, the Savior of the whole world. And I reconfirmed my commitment in him as Lord and Savior and God. And I got to tell you today, listen, people. There is a guy that raises people from the dead, and he himself rose from the dead. That is a game changer. Nothing else in this life matters at all. And so maybe the most important thing I need to ask you today is, what's your response to Jesus? Was he just a nice guy? I don't think so. He was more than that. He was the Son of God. He was God. And in fact, there was a man by the name of Thomas around that time who he was struggling, he was doubting. And so Jesus appeared to Thomas and he said, Thomas, touch my hands, touch my side. And Thomas believed in Jesus as Lord and God. And Jesus said to him, he said, Thomas, you believe because you have seen me, but blessed are those who believe in me even though they have not seen me. And that's you people. Do you believe or no? And so I'd like to ask you, if you would like to, like I have and many others around the world, if you would like to receive Jesus and believe in him as the Messiah, the Son of God, the Christ, I would like to help you to do that this morning. So basically, there's a few things you got to know. Number one, you just have to realize that, number one, you are a sinner, you are lost, you are without hope, without Jesus. That's number one. We've all been there, we all have fallen short. Number two, you have to believe that Jesus died on the cross, and he rose again for you. And number three, you need to tell the Lord that you are willing to follow him with all your life. That doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. You're going to make mistakes. But you tell the Lord, I want to honor you with every part of my life. And I want to, it can all start with a prayer. And I would like to lead you in that prayer right now. Now, if you have never made a decision to follow Jesus as the Messiah, as Lord, as the Son of God, you can do that today. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to say a prayer, and if you would like to give your heart to the Lord, if you would like to trust in him as the Messiah, you can pray along with me in your heart where you're at in your seat. So let's go ahead and let's do that. So pray something like this with where you're at and just in your heart. Dear Lord, I come to you today recognizing that I'm a sinner and I've fallen short of your perfect standard. And I'm so sorry, Lord. Lord, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins, that you rose again from the grave, and that you are the Son of God, the Messiah of the world. Lord, please help me by your Spirit and your way to live a life that honors you. My life will never be perfect, Lord, but I pray, Lord, I invite you into my life and into my heart to direct every aspect of my life. Amen. Now, if you've prayed that prayer for the first time, we'd encourage you to come and talk to us.